This is a CKTZ News update. I'm Lonnie Taylor. The Cortez Forestry General Partnership hosted a public meeting on Thursday, May 11th to launch the public consultation process for an updated five-year plan. I caught up with the operations manager, Mark Lombard, to find out about the new plan, reflections on the last multi-year plan, and how the first consultation with the public went. You guys just held your first consultation for this new five-year plan on the 11th. How did that go?
It went quite well. The Cahoose generously hosted the meeting in their new relations hall, and Acting Chief Stephen Brown was there, and Georgina Silby from the Cahoose side of the partnership, and Aaron Ellingson and Bruce Ellingson were there from the co-op side. And we all of directors present spoke a little bit about the partnership and some of the successes over the last little while. I gave a summary of operations and activities to date and gave a little appraisal of what's happening right now in the community for us, which primarily is just working on the five-year plan and then where we're going in the future. So we talked about the last block left from the previous five-year plan that's not been harvested. We haven't worked there yet. So that's in the plans for potentially as soon as this fall, but maybe next spring. And then we're developing 5 years worth of projects at this point. And we showed those on the map. Anybody who wants to see the map with the projections can get on to the Cortez Forestry General Partnership website, www.cortezforestrypartnership.com. And there's a map that shows some purple areas where we're considering activities. Those purple blobs are not the blocks. Those are just projected areas. So if people want to take some time and have a look or provide feedback, what we're 100% open to feedback, as open as possible. So any comments or ideas or feedback that people wanted to share are welcome. We had contacted the co-op, the Community Forest Cooperative, because there were some members of the co-op who wanted to have input early on, and we had invited them to suggest areas that they proposed activities in the next 5 years. We invited the co-op membership to submit any areas that they would prefer to see activities, just trying to switch it around, because sometimes people, like the partnership, proposes areas to operate in, and then people have feedback that those are not appropriate places. So we thought we would give people an opportunity to present what they thought would be appropriate places. And I thought quite significantly, there was no feedback on that. So the partnership board directed the staff to propose areas that we could operate in. And we went ahead and did that based on what's possible, basically.
Cool. That sounds an innovative approach to public consultation.
I hope so. Right now, it's really a carte blanche. Like, people can submit as much or as little feedback as they would like. Anything from setbacks on a particular stream or riparian area or sensitive area, or it gives people an opportunity to look out for nests, or anything that anybody would like to submit.
Awesome.
Now is the time.
Great. Okay, so it sounds like it was a pretty smooth first public consultation, and it sounds the results of the last five-year plan were pretty much successful.
Not exactly, Lonnie, but not exactly. The last five-year plan, we effectively, about halfway into the plan, that we're going to be losing significant areas of the community forest land base to the Cahoose in the treaty process, which the board, nobody has any, we support the Cahoose 100%. And so that's fine. But there were areas that we had in that first five-year plan or that five-year plan that are going to Cahoose. And because of that, we were asked to not obviously operate in those areas. So that changed the plan a little bit. That includes some areas in Merry Point that are going to the Cahoose, three parcels, and the Haywire Bay area north of Squirrel Cove, and the area that's directly to the west of the Cahoose Reserve, south of Ondonop, are all going to Cahoose. So that affected our plans quite a bit, Lonnie. So we couldn't operate in those areas. That kind of changed about half of the five-year plan. But at the same time, we had been, since 2018, working with the regional district on a revised community wildfire protection plan. And that draft was completed in 2020. And at that point, the partnership announced, when we repeated at ongoing public meetings and on the website, that we were going to pivot, because of the changes with the treaty lands, we were going to pivot our operations to working towards implementing the community wildfire protection recommendations. And so we at this point, Lonnie, we're about halfway through implementing the recommendations in the Community Wildfire Protection Plan. As they pertain to the community forest land base, the plan had recommendations for the whole island, people's homes, key and critical infrastructure on the island, and then also some prescriptions for mitigation strategies on the land base. And some of that is on parks, some of that is on Cohoose land, some of that is on the community forest. And as of now, there has been a treatment around the recycling center. There's been a phase one in the Carrington and Coulter Bay neighborhood with a residential area to the west. There's been a phase one in the Gorge Harbor and the lake operating area. And the only area that we haven't done anything yet and from that recommendation is in the Squirrel Cove area. And when the community forest operates in the Squirrel Cove area again, sometime in the next 5 years, we are going to try and do a little bit of a mitigation in that really thick third growth forest that's growing there. So that was a pivot in 2020. And it was very gray in terms of where, what was going to the Cohoose. And so we actually did do the Vaughan 1 project, turns out in an area that is going to the Cohoose. And now, as you mentioned, we have one block left from that first five-year plan. The reason that, one of the reasons we haven't gotten there yet is because it requires some new road to be built through the Cohoose private land. And once that road is built, then we'll be able to have a spur road off of that that goes and connects into the north part of the CFA, the community forest area. But until that road is built, we can't operate there. And it's pretty remote. And the old road to get there is really steep. And it's not like a sensible place. So we're not actually spending a lot of time up there. We've been there. We've got the roads. We've got access now. If there was a fire in that area, we can get there. But we're not spending a lot of time doing detailed engineering in that area until the new road is built. So everything is the opposite of black and white. It's all a rainbow of gray in terms of planning.
Treaty negotiations can go on for decades. You say you're in a gray area. It sounds like that might just be like the norm for a while.
I think it is. I don't want to comment very much on the treaty negotiations because I'm actually not.
Of course.
I'm not informed about it. And I only work with the community forest. So I genuinely don't really know exactly what's happening, but I think it's going to be exactly like you said, it's going to be in a bit of a gray zone for the next little while. So we're going to continue collaborating. And obviously there's road that goes through all the parties and we're working on upgrading some of the road. And like the community forest did a little bit of work on the road that what's known as the old Vondonop Road, even though that's going to the Cohoose because it's going to develop access to the north part of the community forest eventually. But like you say, we can make plans, but if we don't have access to certain areas, it makes the plans, it just drags things out. And the community forest is spread out all over the island. So we've been through this a lot where there's access that has to be developed through private landowners or other landowners. And it often takes a really long time to get an agreement and to get infrastructure worked on. And it's challenging, but we're getting used to that now.
It sounds like there's quite a few factors that have to be considered throughout the planning process. And it's an inspiring thing to see so much cooperation between parties. So is there anything else moving forward? Do you know when the next kind of public engagement will be?
Sure. I think the community forest is about 3,800 hectares and about 30 to 34% of that is considered net down. So those areas are like steeper or rocky or shoreline, riparian, whatever reasons they're not considered part of the timber harvesting land base. And on that, so there's another 2,500 hectares of timber harvesting land base. And as the community forest matures a little bit, it's still relatively new. It's not even 10 years old yet, although it will be 10 years old in August of this year. We want to be able to be responsive to the demand of the local mills because local value added is one of our primary goals. We have multiple objectives, but that's one of the primary goals is to supply local mills with good quality logs so that they can have an economically viable business. And now that the Cohoose sawmill is getting up and running again, they're actually purchased a new mill. So now they're going to have three different mills that can break down different logs as appropriate to the size of the log and what's needing to be produced. And the Cohoose have ordered logs from the community forests and they'd like to have them fairly soon. So one of the things, the idea of a five-year plan, it's not necessarily to say that in 2023, we're going to log exactly here, exactly on this date. And in 24, we're going to log exactly here and exactly on this date. It's just to show the areas that are projected to be operated in over the next 5 years. And then when we have an order from, for example, the Clahoose First Nation Sawmill, the partnership would like to be able to go out and develop a project that suits the needs of the Clahoose Sawmill and other mills. Right now, we have orders from two sawmills on the island, and we don't have a specific timeline for a project. So you can imagine that it signals a need for flexibility. So I think that's something that we need to try to communicate to the Cortez Island community, is that there's a five-year plan, and within that five-year plan, there's going to be some flexibility. And if the Clahoose mill needs logs, then, you know, we want to try to either build some road that has enough volume in the right of way that can supply the mill. Like, they're asking for four truckloads, just as an example right now. It's hard to go out and do a harvest that's only four truckloads, but maybe you have a small project or a small area that you can do sensibly. So as you can imagine, and I could speak longer about it, but there's lots and lots of variables and factors that make a project viable or not viable. So we have to try to marry up all those factors. The only other thing I would say, there are two consultants that were hired by the co-op with some of the profit that was paid out by the partnership to the partners. And the co-op hired a consulting team with a lot of experience in the value-added sector, and they've created a roadmap that they're going to be sharing with the community. It's a value-added roadmap for developing out the value-added sector on Cortez Island.
You've already got the pre-orders lined up for the wood to stay on the island.
Yeah, absolutely. And supporting the Clahoose Sawmill, I don't think I can think of a higher priority for the community forest.
Lonnie Taylor, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.